If you have your Bible tonight, would you take it, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you'd turn there, please. And while you're turning there, I would like to take this moment to say to this church and to all of you here this evening how Tim and I, as we've come over from our country and from Berean Baptist to be here during these special days, to share with you in the sorrow of the passing of Pastor Vernon Higham. We have been extremely blessed by your fellowship and by what we're seeing in the church here. And I want to say that I was just so overwhelmed by the tremendous love that this congregation showered upon the Higham family and the way all of you pulled together to make that service yesterday, and all the things that all of you were doing make it so absolutely unique and special. I have never been at a service, a memorial service, funeral service, that was ever anything quite like that. It was amazing. And I could talk about every one of you, the different the ladies that do the cleaning, the cooking, Mike, Mark, all you ladies, all the ushers, the men that are working, it was amazing how you put together the most phenomenal service. Maureen, it was a testimony to your husband, and it brought glory to God. As a church, you did a phenomenal job together. It was just absolutely amazing. When Saul was anointed king by Samuel, we read in the scriptures that he went down to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. And that's a principle that I've often used at our church to remind our people and other places where I've had the opportunity to minister, that no one pastor can ever be what he needs to be in the ministry unless he has surrounding him a group of godly and faithful people. Saul had a group of men that went with him whose hearts God had touched. Pastor Higham, Vernon Higham, throughout his years in ministry, had faithful men with him. And Dewey, as the pastor of this church, has a group of faithful, godly people in you. And I want to commend you for your love to Christ, your commitment to the Word of God, to this church, the Tabernacle Church in Cardiff, and to your pastor. And for this church to continue to be blessed and to go forward, I just urge you to continue doing what you're doing. Be faithful to God. Live for the glory of God and support your pastor and his family. And as you continue to do what you've been doing, God has been showering blessings upon you, and he will continue to do so. And I believe the greatest days for Berean Baptist Church in my country and for this church and for God's people, the greatest days are yet to come. But I know that you've come through a time when there's been a great deal of sorrow, because when you lose Pastor Higham, Pastor Emeritus Vernon Higham, it's a loss, and it's a great sorrow. And Morwen's going to need people coming around her to encourage her and comfort her in the days to come. There will be those moments that the thoughts and memories will come crashing in on her, and she's going to need your support. And Pastor Higham here, Dewey, is going to need your support. And you all need to be encouraged with each other. But I simply am coming as a visitor, as a friend of this church, and I love you all so much. And I have stood back. Tim and I have commented several times. I have been overwhelmed at what I see here at this church. And I give praise to God, and I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. And in that light, the Lord laid a text on my heart this evening that comes out of the life of David. David was anointed by Samuel to be the king of Israel. Saul had been rejected, but Saul would have none of it. And so even though David had been anointed, Saul was not going to step by, and he continued to pursue David. He was jealous, he was full of hatred and envy and bitterness, and he kept pursuing the one that God had anointed. While David is fleeing from Saul, and he's out also fighting the enemies of Israel, on this particular occasion in 1 Samuel chapter 30, a unique and amazing providential event took place. While David and his mighty men are out fighting the enemy, we read that the Amalekites come through, and they come in to a city called Ziklag, where all of David's families, wives, children were. They came in, burned the city, and captured everybody, and then took off. When David and his men came back and found the city burned and all of their families missing, all their wives, children, and all their substance gone. If you read in the Bible in chapter 30, verse 1, we'll pick it up the first four verses. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. This was a dark day, a dark moment. It was a hard moment for them, and they wept. And they wept so hard, it says, they wept until they had no more power to weep. That's how deep was their sorrow. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, and for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This was an unusual providence that David faced. And we face in life many times similar providences. It can be like we faced this week as we look back over the calling home of our precious loved one, Vernon Higham. Death has a way of bringing sorrow into our lives. It can bring a great, great loss and great emotions and feelings. But not only do we face death in life, we face disappointments. Sometimes we face dark days of the soul, sometimes discouragements. Sometimes there are desertions, people leave us. A wife might leave her husband, or a man might leave his wife. There are so many different disappointments in life that we face. Life is filled with these dark moments, these sad times, these difficult times. But I have found in my life as a pastor that the way I have grown the most spiritually has been when I've been schooled in the school of the Holy Spirit. And in the school of the Holy Spirit, the textbooks are very precise. In the school of the Holy Spirit, we read the book of suffering. And we read the book of dying to self. And we read the book of sorrow. And the book of disappointment. And maybe sometimes the book of betrayal. These are the books that we often read in the school of the Spirit. And anyone who's going to walk with God and be used of the Lord in the Lord's work will know what it is to be schooled by the Holy Spirit in that precious school. We will not be what we ought to be unless we face those times of instruction from Him. In this chapter that I've read, we have a great, great test that David had to face. He faces this dark moment when he comes back with his men and they've lost everything. Now, we've lost these days, in a sense, a great, great man of God. It's not a loss like David had, because it's a loss filled with joy, because Vernon is with the Lord. But there are going to be in your life and in my life, there will be times when we'll have these difficult moments, these difficult times. When you face a difficult test, a trial, or a burden, how we respond to it and how we react to it is going to reveal our character, reveal much about what we are as a people. I want to talk first of all about this remarkable test that David faced. An unusual providence. God has been blessing him. God had his hand upon him. He'd been anointed. He's out doing the Lord's work. And while he's doing the Lord's work, this crushing, disappointing providence takes place. He might have thought, how could Jehovah allow this to happen to me? I'm the Lord's anointed. I'm serving the Lord, and yet he came back and everything they had was taken. Not only did they lose everything, but David's men were so upset, they spoke of stoning him. The loss was enormous. He lost his wives, his children, his possessions, lost the loyalty of his men, lost their support. They thought of stoning him. Let's remind ourselves that in life that we face these times. Jesus said this in John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus told his disciples, in the world you will have tribulation. Most people in the ministry can say they know what it's been like to be wounded in the house of their friends. In my ministry over the years, the deepest wounds I've had have not come from atheists and agnostics or people that were rebels against the things of God. The deepest hurts I've had in my heart have come from people that I've loved, people that I've served, people that I've sacrificed for and prayed for. The scars on my soul have not come from the Roman whip, but from those that were brothers and sisters in Christ. But yet, it doesn't mean we don't love them. And even though we bear these scars, we do it joyfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take up the cause of Christ, we take up his cross and follow him. And that's part of what it means to die to self and to be crucified unto the world and unto the Lord. To this church, to all of you, there'll be times of sorrow. There'll be times of disappointment and times of trial. And there may be wounds on your heart, even from the house of your friends. We can't deny that this is going to happen from time to time. Peter talks about suffering within the church. Listen to what he says. He tells us this, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Peter tells those that is reading his epistle that we will be tried with fire, but the trying of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. Well, David had many trials in his life, and we've all had trials in our lives, and it won't be the last as we face things in our world. There'll be many trials that we'll go through. David goes through all these losses, all these crosses, all these great burdens. And what I find significant, when David comes back to Ziklag and finds everything gone, at the precise moment that his men needed his leadership the most is when they were willing to stone him. And when David needed them the most, they were turned on. And this is what the devil often does. In the times when we need each other the most, the evil one comes in, so distracts us and divides us against one another that we find ourselves divided, distracted, discouraged, disappointed, and confused. It ought not to be. We should never let things like that happen. The Bible has a lot to say about how much we need each other. I was so blessed by watching this church pull together and put together the most incredible funeral and memorial service I have ever witnessed. I'm hearing it from everyone that writes to me by text or email. What an awesome service it was, and it's a testimony to your pastor and to all of you what you put together. And it should remind us that Dewey didn't put it together by himself, and Alan didn't do it by himself, or David, you, or Mark, and all you did it together. And then as a church, as a body of Christ, we need each other. There's a story in the Bible where Moses, in the book of Exodus chapter 17, they are in their wilderness journeys, and Amalek comes to them in a place called Rephidim. And they come to battle against the children of Israel. And God has given Moses a rod, and as he lifts up his hand with the rod, as he lifts up his hand, the battle goes well for the Israelites. But he gets weary and tired, and his arms come down. But as Aaron and Hur come by, they put a rock down where he could sit on it. He sits down, and they stand on either side of him, holding up Moses' hands, his arms. They did it to the closing of the sun, to the setting of the sun, and the victory was won. Moses needed Aaron and Hur, and Aaron and Hur needed Moses. They needed each other. The Bible has much to say about that. Your pastor needs you in these days to hold up his hands. You know, it's a new period for Cardiff Tabernacle Church. You know why? Because this great man of God that's been in your midst is now in glory. He's left a legacy here and a testimony that you can follow. And now the mantle completely now falls upon Pastor Chaim Dewey here, and he's going to need you to hold up his hands in prayer. There was a time in Israel's history when they were fighting a great giant across the valley named Goliath. And a little Hebrew boy comes into the scene, And who would think that these great warriors, and Saul himself was a man about 7 feet tall, who would think that they would need a little teenage Jewish boy, but they needed David to kill the giant. When the children of Israel were taken into captivity, and a man named Haman was setting up a evil plot to have the Jews exterminated, who would have thought that a beautiful Jewish girl could be of any service for the kingdom of God? But yet Esther, because of her beauty, was chosen by the king to be his new wife. And of course, Mordecai, her uncle, said, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We need not forget that in the body of Christ, we all need each other. And how you pulled together yesterday was beautiful, and it was a tremendous testimony of what God is doing and will continue to do in your church. The Apostle Paul writes at Ephesus, and he writes these words to the people there. He says, and he, meaning the Lord God, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God has given each of you different gifts. There are some in this church that have certain gifts, but you all have gifts, and those gifts are pulled together, used by the Holy Spirit, to help this body of believers to become spiritually mature and greatly blessed of the Lord. Paul also writes to the church at Rome. He says this, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. It's a beautiful analogy. The hand needs the arm, and the hands need the feet, and the legs, and the head, and the heart. We all need each other with our gifts and our special opportunities to serve the Lord together. And so it is for my church. We emphasize our spiritual gifts and encourage people to use those gifts, and I stood back and watched so many of you using your gifts in a selfless way, in a sacrificial way, in a Christ-like way. It was a testimony, and it was a blessing to my heart. Well, David faced a great test. His test was they lost all these things because the Amalekites came in and took away everything. But what was his response? Look if we can, please, at verse 6 again, the response of David and the people. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But here's the difference with David. While everyone else was grieving and upset and distressed and so forth, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's an amazing statement. That's how he responded as a man of God. Again, how we respond to the trials of life, the tribulations of life, the losses, the crosses, the burdens, the sorrows, how we respond tells a great deal about us. Sometimes people, when they have great burdens, they can be overwhelmed with discouragement or be disillusioned. Sometimes they get critical of their leaders. Sometimes they're filled with rage and anger. Sometimes people quit, give up, walk away, whatever. But David responded by encouraging himself in the Lord. Now, what does that mean for us today when we face difficulties, we face situations? I was just asking myself the other day as I was meditating on this passage, how do I encourage myself in the Lord? In our Bible here, David did three things. First of all, we know that he wept. Then we know that he went to God in prayer. He sought the Lord, inquired of the Lord. Verse 8, he inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue them? He wept, he went to the Lord in prayer, and then he pursued. He put action behind his decisions and so forth. Well, that's pretty simple. He wept. His great emotion led him to pray, to seek the face of God, and then it led to obedience, to action. But let's be more practical for us in a sense. Adding to that, what does it mean to encourage ourselves in the Lord? When we have a hurt, a disappointment, whether it's in our families, in the church, whatever it might be, what do we do? I would say this, when we face difficult times in our lives, I would say the first thing we ought to do is to rest in the promise of God, Romans 8:28, that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Whatever we face in life, I don't care what it might be, we don't know what tomorrow will bring forth, but whatever you face tomorrow, whatever shock of news you receive, whatever bitter disappointment, whatever you face, rest in this truth that you know in your heart is true, that our God is too wise to err and too loving to be unkind. And we know that all things work together for good, whatever it might be. Rest in Romans 8:28. Then I would say this to encourage yourself in the Lord. You might ask yourself and ask the Lord, when you face a hard day, a difficult providence, a burden or whatever, a sorrow, ask yourself, Lord, what would you want me to learn from this? There's always perhaps something the Lord is wanting to teach us, something he wants us to learn. I would say thirdly, you might say, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom not only to know what you want me to learn, but I need wisdom then to apply what you want me to do. Then I would also, in a hard providence, I would say, Lord, is there a need for me to search my life to see, is there anything in my life that I need to make right with others or before you? Is there a need to repent? Even in the good moments of life, what does Paul say in Romans 2? That the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And then when you face any kind of burden or situation, a hard day, a day of sorrow, then use it as a day to praise the Lord. Use the day to give thanks to God. Paul says to the Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Tonight, we are here and we had such a great day, didn't we, yesterday. A day of celebration and saying our loved one, your father, Pastor Emeritus, has gone to glory and he's with the angels and with the apostles and Martin Lloyd-Jones. And tonight we can praise God that we have such a hope in the Lord. We can praise God that we have such peace because we sorrow, but not like those who have no hope. Well, there's the second thing we see. David is his response, and it was a good response. But then finally, David's reward. What was his reward? He did the right thing. He prayed, sought the Lord's face, his wisdom, pursued the enemy. And the story is quite, they found one of the Egyptians that were with these Amalekites. He was so weak, they left him for dead. David's men, they fed him, got him revived, and said, can you take us down to wherever these guys are? He said, I can lead you there. He leads them there, and they go into battle against the Amalekites, and they recover everything. Notice verse 18. It says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, or anything that had taken to them. David recovered all. Twice it says, David recovered all. It's amazing. They recovered everything that they lost. And we don't know what God might do when we face a difficult time in our lives, when dark days come. We don't know what God might do, but when there are disappointments and when there are tragedies or sorrows, if we respond in the right way, the biblical way, I don't know all that God will do, but this much I can tell you, if we respond in the proper way, we will have peace of mind and a clear conscience. When we face in the church difficulty and we respond biblically, we'll have peace of mind and a clear conscience. If we do what is right in all situations, we'll have the respect of those around us. If we do what is right in all situations, I believe we'll have God's blessing on our labors, even if we suffer sometimes unrighteously so, unjustly. If we respond in the proper way, we'll have taught those who work with us and those who work around us, we'll have taught them the example of what it means to be a man or a woman of God. And just as David recovered all, we don't know what God may be pleased to do to bless us. I don't know what trials you may have in the days to come, but in every one of your lives, I can tell you this, because I'm no prophet, but I know life. In every one of your lives, in the lives of every one of the people in my church, there are going to be plenty of days of sorrow because sickness and death and sorrow and pain and suffering, they stalk our days. We're all going to face it. And there will be, in the church, there will be disappointments, and there will be battles to be fought. We fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when you get through one battle, you think, well, now we're through. The devil never sleeps nor slumbers. There will always be a need to be alert. There will always be a need to keep on the vigil. But there are some lessons that we can learn from our text here, David's great victory over the Amalekites. First of all, know this, dear loved ones, that tests and trials will come. Know this, secondly, that how you respond is very important. People are watching us, how we respond. Remember this, that we all need each other in the body of Christ. God has anointed your pastor, and I believe he surrounded him with a band of people, with a good group of people whose hearts God has touched. Recently, coming into this church, Leo, you and your friends, the Iranian brothers and others, have come in, and you're doing some wonderful things. You've brought encouragement to the people here. You're being brought by God, surrounding this pastor with all these others, a band of people whose hearts God has touched. Your pastor needs, in these days, needs his hands to be held up. Morwen needs her hands to be held up, and others need their hands to be held up. And I simply ask, whose hands are you holding up? Hold each other's hands up in prayer. Hold each other up before the Lord. I just thought came to me. I love poetry, and one of the poems that I have often enjoyed was William Wordsworth, England, 1802. You think, what a crazy poem, and it begins with a line that moves me when I think of how I apply it. He says, Milton, thou shouldst be living at this hour. England hath need of thee. You know, John Milton was a very godly man. Vernon Higham was a very godly man. And there'll be a day, there'll be an hour when, Dewey, you'll say, oh, Dad, thou shouldst be living at this hour. I need you. Mom, Morwen needs you. Wales needs you. America needs you. But he's with the Lord in glory. And you'll ask yourself, what would Vernon say? What would he do? Dewey has taken up the torch in his father's absence, and Alan has joined with him. You can ask yourself, what can we do to help these men walk with God? What can we do to make this church the best church we can possibly make it? I wrote down some things that I wanted to end on to challenge you, that I pray you'll take this from my heart to your heart. What is the best way to honor Pastor Emeritus, to honor his legacy, his memory? And I'm just telling you this because I love you all so much, because I love Dewey and Ellen and their wives, and I love Morwen so much. I would say this, and if you allow me to share from my heart, number one, to you, dear brothers and sisters at the Tabernacle Cardiff, carry on the vision that Vernon had for worship, for preaching the gospel, maintaining the high standards of holy living and living for Christ. Carry that on in honor of him. And don't surrender that an inch. In a time of sorrow, Morwen, I know that you have handled this so beautifully. What a gracious testimony you've had. But in this time of sorrow, pull together and rally behind each other, rally behind your pastor's wife and Morwen and the leaders here. Rally behind them and do what you can. Make this church the most God-honoring church, the most Christ-exalting church. Make this the brightest light in all of Wales, if not all of the British Isles. Make it your goal to make this place the best place you can possibly make it for the glory of God. That when people visit here, they will say the presence of God is among these people. That the love of Christ is here. Remember this also, that we need each other. We can't do this great work alone. No one can do this alone. If we want to honor this man of God who is so special to my life, to all of your lives, then don't ever forget his vision, his burdens, his longings in his heart. It continues with you, and it won't die here. If you keep that torch blazing and burning, what will happen as you all, one by one, go to join him in glory? You'll be leaving behind you a group of people that will take the torch up behind you, and this church will go on for generations in serving the Lord. A great task is in front of you. I know it's been a great loss having Vernon called to glory, but we rejoice where he is. We want to encourage one another. But when you face some difficult times in life, just understand what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and God blessed him. And I know that you put a lot of work into yesterday, and a lot of you are very tired, and you're weary. But you've done a great work for Christ, and you've done it under the Lord, and God will bless you for it. If, as a church, you've passed through some sorrows in the last year or two with some people being called home to glory from here. But you know what? May the Lord bless you. May he strengthen you and smile upon you. Encourage yourselves in the Lord and get behind your pastor. And I pray that this church will know an abundant outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that he will do above and beyond all that you could ever ask or think. Thank you for allowing me to share that little word from the scriptures for Samuel 30. I trust it will be an encouragement to you, and I want you to know, as I share this tonight, I did it because I love you, and I love your pastor, and I just think God's got great things for you all. I really do. Father in heaven, we thank you for this church, for the people here, for Morwen. We pray you encourage her. Pray you bless Dewey and Mari and Alan and Helen, all the leaders here, and all the dear people who work so hard. Father, you've done a great work here. Continue this great work for your glory, and I pray, Father, you'll bless this church in the days to come, that the light of Christ, the light of his glory, will shine far and wide. I commit them all into your keeping and care, asking this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.